Welcome to the Radio 191 FM podcast.
It's time for the little section that I've just started called the International Situation. And joining me on the International Situation today is Helena. Kia ora, Helena.
Hello, so nice to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us. So you're joining us from Berlin, right?
Yes, exactly.
That is crazy. Yeah, and it sounds like it's crazy hot in Berlin. I'm quite jealous of that.
Yeah, in the summer, the city heats up because we have some trees, but not enough. So it just gets very warm between all the concrete buildings.
Yeah. Are they trying to do things to, like, have more trees? Like, is that happening?
Yeah, I think so. And we do have some, like, it's not the least green city. There's, like, a lot of parks and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's always an ongoing debate, right, where we have these, like, open spaces really famous as the Temple of Afed.
Yeah.
And it's always, like, debate in Berlin because there's also, of course, a housing crisis, like, in every big green city.
Yeah,
and
well,
so it was debate, do we build on the Temple of Afed or do we leave it as an open green space for people?
Yeah. Right. And what did that come to? Like, are people still debating it or...?
Yeah, I mean, it's like every election, like every Berlin, like local election cycle, it's a constantly always like newly debated topic.
Right.
It's like never over. It's always someone new is like, we could build that. And then there's all these people like, no, we actually want open space and you should have less empty office buildings and maybe have people live there.
Yeah, true. I mean, that was something I did sort of want to talk about, was what the sort of cost of living situation is like in Germany at the moment, because it's something that we talk about a lot here. Like rent, especially in the bigger cities in New Zealand, is so expensive. Is it the same in Germany?
Yeah, and so, like, we just had a European election, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
And when you asked, especially young people, like, but everyone, what their like, top worry was going into the election, it was actually cost of living, like, inflation, especially. I mean, rents are also going up, but we have quite strict laws in Germany about, like, when you can raise rent by how much.
Interesting.
So I don't think that's the biggest issue for people. It's a lot more, like, cost of buying food, like, at the supermarket, because that's where you, like, see inflation, like, it's stark, like, it feels really stark when you go to the supermarket and suddenly you're paying, like, a lot more than you used to. Yeah,
definitely. So tell me more about the election. So was it the European Parliament or the German Parliament or both, or how does that all work?
Yeah, no, it was the European Parliament election.
Okay.
The German parliamentary election is next year.
Oh, I see.
But so all, like, everyone in Europe votes over, like, 3 to 4 days.
Yeah.
And the European Parliament is obviously, like, the only directly democratically elected body in the European Union, because the other bodies is the European Commission, which is nominated by Parliament/member states, and then you have the European Council, which is also just the member states.
Right.
So that's kind of when we talk about how is Europe made up, that's kind of the one place where we as the people get, like, a direct say.
Interesting.
And the Parliament has become, like, more and more powerful over the past years, like, has gotten more and more, like, competencies that the Parliament is also allowed to, like, decide stuff.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, crazy.
And
so
it was, like, quite a nerve-wracking time, because the far-right party, the AfD in Germany, was, like, projected to get, like, at, like, the highest point, like, 25% of German seats in the quarter, which is really, incredible.
So what was the result in the end then?
In the end, I think they got, like, 16 or 17%, so a lot lower than the peak. And I attribute that to, we had the largest wave of democratic protests that Germany has ever seen that took place, actually.
So that is pretty awesome.
January and February and March, for weeks, we had over 3 million people on German streets, like, massive demonstrations. We had 350,000 people on one day, like, at one time in Berlin, standing in front of our parliament. And I think these, like, that, I think that's the way you should do it, right? There's no point in demonstrating. I mean, there is, but if you want to save democracy and if you want to stop the far right, the right point in time to demonstrate is before the election.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a lot of data that actually kind of created, like, a shift where a lot of people rethought and decided not to vote for the far right, which is really cool.
Definitely. Yeah. That's so cool. Because it's a bit of a trend all over Europe, right? The sort of far right movement is growing everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a huge worry, obviously, because not only are they a danger to democracy, but they also... they're also a danger for the climate, because they're, like, the hardcore climate deniers are all in the far right populist parties.
Yeah.
And worried about the world burning, and you have this party saying, oh, but CO2 is good for plants. Like, that's a literal thing that they still say.
Yeah, right, wow.
And that's obviously like a huge problem.
Yeah, for sure.
People are frustrated, people are scared, people are not satisfied with politics, and I can understand a lot of that.
Yeah.
But then they turn partly to the populist far right, and that's really dangerous.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, maybe some good news, right? Because we had elections not in Germany, but in France and in the UK.
Yeah.
Like this part. And they also managed to hit back against the populist far right, which were also projected to win a lot higher. So I do think this, like, mood of, oh, this is just going to wash over us, we can't stop this. Like, I think that is getting stopped, which makes me very happy, because I'm always frustrated when people think they can't do anything about the way the world is.
Yeah, definitely. Because people can, eh? Like, that's such a big thing. I mean, so, because you're involved with Fridays for Future, right? So the way that people power is shown there is pretty awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Like, our whole big thing is mass mobilization. Like, we do other stuff. We do, like, smaller campaigns, but, like, our, like, the big thing we do every year is we have these huge climate strikes, and still we bring hundreds of thousands of people onto the streets every year and make sure that politicians know, like, the people are there and the people want climate policies that are responsible and that take care of our future and our planet and so on.
Definitely, yeah. And have you got some cool politicians elected now as well?
I mean, it's always a love-hate relationship, right? Like,
yeah.
Because we, like, in Germany, the Green Party is quite strong. Like, they're actually part of the government right now. They're one of the three governing parties.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, that's a positive, because they are the party that have the most expertise in climate. They've been working on this issue longer than I've been alive, like, yeah, partly. And so, like, the climate and economy minister is a green minister at the moment, for instance.
Right. Are they doing good things?
Some good things, yeah. Like, renewable expansion is, like, off the charts. Like,
wow.
Like, especially in solar, we're, like, passing all of our goals. Like, that is just something that makes me really, really hopeful, because that's one of the big fights we fought in Germany, like, to exit out of coal, because there are these huge open pit coal mines in Germany, and to enter into renewables. And that is a thing that is, like, happening, which is really, really positive.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's a government, obviously, means compromise, and we criticize the Green Party a lot because they do compromise in places where we don't think it's necessary.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, in coal, there was a big decision last year where they said, we're pulling out of coal earlier, but we're still gonna dig up, like, this village on the edge of the coal mine called Lützerath, which is unnecessary because the coal under there is not needed to match our energy demand.
Yeah.
But they decided to do it anyway, and that was a huge showdown. Like, there were tens of thousands of people defending this village on the front line of the coal mine.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, our strategy has always been very much like, we will not solve the climate crisis by electing individual politicians or even by electing a certain party. We will only solve it if all parties actually feel it's their responsibility to take care of the climate. So that's, like, very much always been our strategy, to say, like, vote for the climate, but also all of you guys are responsible. So to very much also criticize the Conservatives and the Social Democrats, because they're, like, the two other big party blocks in Germany.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they need to... We need social democratic climate policy, and we need conservative climate policy, right? And then in the end, we can decide which is, like, what is the exact strategy that we need. But if the system is, like, based on that as a, like, we're all going to do climate, like, it might look differently, but we're all going to do it, like, that would get us a lot further. And I think we were, we made, like, 3 years ago, that was more so the case.
Yeah.
That there was, like, a real consensus, and there's been a lot of backlash over the last 3 years where... And I think partly because we were so successful before, right? Like, we were had so much momentum, we kind of just, like, rolled over everybody, like, even the opposition.
Yeah.
And now they're, like, standing up, and there's, like, the fossil fuel gas lobby, like companies, and then there's, like, these, there's, like, the popular, like, the newspapers, like, our, like, the populist newspapers who are standing up, and then when there's, like, like, the big showdown backlash moment we had was when they tried to ban gas heating in houses.
Right, yeah.
Starting at the end of this year.
Yeah.
And then it was a huge, like, campaign against that. Like,
interesting.
Where they insinuated that this Green Minister is going to come into your basement and steal your heating. Like, that's what they were legitimately writing.
Wow.
And then they called Habeck's Heizhammer. So Habeck's heating hammer, but he's going to hammer all of your heating out. Like, that's what they were telling everyone. And there was a huge backlash. And at the end, they didn't pass the law in the way that it would have been effective.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what we're very much dealing with, this like wave of backlash, and where there's like certain companies, lobbyists, populists that are like spinning against climate, which is really dangerous.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, that's so interesting. So so what are the main things that Fridays for Future is sort of campaigning on then now? If we've got the gas ban in the past, hopefully.
I mean, we're mostly working on, I mean, one of the big places that is not, like, that's the areas that is not going well is actually the mobility sector in Germany, right?
Yeah.
So transport, anything kind of transport related. So like people using their cars.
Yeah.
But also goods and services being transported on like big, cars and stuff,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that is the one sector that has, like, in Germany, in like all the other areas, even if they're not perfect, like emissions have been going down, which is really
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the transport sector, they've just kind of been stagnant.
Yeah.
For the last 30 years.
Yeah. But you do have trains, which we don't have, really.
You have trains, but also how much longer? Because our government has chronically underinvested in our rail infrastructure, which is why I know they're much cooler than in a lot of other places, and I try to remember that once in a while. But in Germany, there's like this huge narrative that the trains, like, because they're like 65% of trains are very late because the infrastructure is so bad.
65%.
Which obviously makes it seem like not a very good mode of transport if you have a meeting and you're always late because the train is always late. So that's a huge issue, because Germany has poured a lot of money in road infrastructure, in motorways, but not a lot of money in rail infrastructure. And so that means that, and then we have a transport minister who is not interested in doing climate policy.
Right.
We've actually had to take him to court multiple times
because
there's like a climate law in Germany which that he's actually like by law he should be doing, like putting programs forward and like make, like using measures to reduce emissions, like that he is like actually supposed to be doing that, and he's doing it because he's like so in league with the car industries in Germany. And so we've taken to court a few times, but that's just the one area where there's like nothing's happening because there's no policy being decided. And I think the most incredible thing, people don't know that, but in Germany, we don't actually have any speed limits.
Yeah, true.
On the big motorways, which is, first of all, really dangerous. A lot of people die, actually, because people just are speeding so fast.
Yeah.
But it's also really bad for the climate, because when you move really, really quickly, the emissions are a lot higher, actually.
Interesting.
And so... And so they're not like, they can't even do that. And then there was an initiative by the like communities, like individual towns and cities that were like, we want to just locally introduce a speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're not allowed to do that.
Wow.
The state said localities aren't allowed to introduce speed limits.
Yeah.
And then they like 250, I think, like different localities got together and were like, will you just allow us? For our constituents in our area to do this, and they weren't allowed.
They said no. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's the main. Those are some of the main campaigns that Fridays for Future is working on then, or.
Yeah, and then we have, as I said, there's a general election happening in like 1 year from now.
Yeah.
And so we're just kind of gearing up to like again put pressure on all the parties, and make sure that they have climate in their party programs, and that it's like just a big issue in the election. So we're just kind of gearing up and working on stuff for that.
Fantastic. Oh, that's so great. It's so awesome how much great climate work is happening from people like yourself and other sort of groups all around Germany and around the world. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. Before you go though, would you like to introduce the song that we've got here?
Of course. We're gonna listen to Die Kids Sind All Right from OK Kid, which is a song about how our generation is actually all right and we're doing cool stuff And yeah, it makes me quite hopeful when we listen to it. And we listened to it at a big conference last year, and there were like 300 people rocking out to the song.
I was there. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. thank you so much. So this is The Kids Are Right on Radio 1 on Sustainable Sounds.
Wir waren die Generation, komm nicht klar mit uns selbst. Die schönsten Visagen von Panik entstellt. Die müssen nichts, können alles und jetzt.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.